Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Captain's orders. Captain's orders. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this service we're able to come to. And we know, Lord, that this closes out the portion of these services. We know, of course, that all day today is your day. So we pray that you would just help us in this last hour here, but in this evening, and Lord, the remaining part of the day, to focus upon your word, and that we might cherish it, and that we might live by it. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation that's freely offered. And for the lost that are here today, Lord, you've given them another opportunity to be with your people and see a witness laid before them. They've been able to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful and forgiving to sinners. I pray that you would bless your people, those that are in need, whatever the case may be. We know that you know each heart and each mind. We know you know what is needed. And so, Lord, we know that as a preacher, I couldn't possibly begin to prepare a message that could fit everybody, but somehow your spirit knows how to take the word, no matter what it is, and apply it in each heart. So we just pray that you would do so today. Help me not to confuse it, and help me not to interrupt by my speech, but Lord, just help me to proclaim your word, and thank you, Lord, for it. Bless our families that are here today. Lord, that you would just take care of each one. Give us a good hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Captain's orders. We have here in this passage an appearance of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. I believe the technical term is a Christophany. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ is the captain of the host that appears here. Several times in the Old Testament, you'll see the angel of the Lord or some such relative phrase, and I think that that's Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ was the fourth man in the fire, and that there were times that he appeared to his people even before his incarnation 2,000 years ago. What can we learn from this passage about our Lord and our role? Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And as this man speaks to Joshua, let's listen to these captain's orders. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 29. Romans 9, 29. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been a Sodom, and we had been made like unto Gomorrah. We're introduced to an interesting name of the Lord here in verse number 29, Lord Sabaoth. This is not a new name that the Apostle Paul introduces us with, but it's one that is used over 200 times in the Old Testament. A generic glance at the name Sabaoth might leave you to think that Sabaoth refers to something about the Sabbath. Not even close. Doesn't have anything to do with it at all. Actually, the name Lord Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, means Lord of Hosts. And Joshua comes here in chapter number 5, Joshua chapter 5, and verse number 15 says that the captain, it calls him the captain of the Lord's host. In verse 14, whoever this one is, he says, nay, but as captain of the host, captain of the host of the Lord, Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Now in English, it means Lord of hosts. There are two ways that host is generally interpreted. First of all, it can refer to a heavenly host. The Lord's Lord of heavenly hosts, the angels and those that inhabit in the heavens. If you were to consider the full power and authority of heaven, it belongs to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reference to his awesome power and majesty in the heavens. But host doesn't just refer to a heavenly host. Host is a military term that refers to the army. In this way, he's Lord of the army and Lord of the battle. It refers to the one who leads the army of Israel. Jesus Christ is commander in chief. That's a good way to describe what he's coming as in Joshua 5. He is coming as commander-in-chief, number one, Jehovah Sabaoth. Number two, Joshua's captain. Joshua's captain. Now, Joshua is obviously the leader of the children of Israel. I mean, you get to the end of the law and you see that Moses has died and Joshua chapter 1 opens up. And obviously, Joshua is the one that stands up to fill the hole that is left by Moses and his departure. And now you come to Joshua chapter 5. It's time to take Jericho. We're standing on the doorsteps of the promised land, and it's time to take this land. God's command over 40 years ago was to take this land. But now they're here, ready to take it. Joshua is a hero and a great man of courage. There are very few, if you were to speak of courage in the Bible, you couldn't go without mentioning Joshua. But Joshua is alone this night. And in verse 13, it says, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." What do you think Joshua did when he saw a man with a sword in his hand? You think Joshua cowers away? Not at all. "Who are you?" he says. "Art thou for us or for our enemies?" Joshua sees a man, and he's got his sword drawn. And Joshua only wants to know one thing. Are you for us or for your enemies? You can take a guess what he would have done if he would have said, "I'm for your enemies." Who are you? Are you for us or for our enemies? But this man doesn't answer that question. His answer to that is nay. You see, what's interesting there is Joshua didn't ask a yes or no question. He said, "Which side are you on?" He says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" No. No. It wasn't really a yes or no question. But notice what he says in verse 14. "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Amen. Here you got Joshua, the leader of the children of Israel, sees this man and he says, "Are you for us or for your enemies?" No, no, Joshua, you got this all wrong. I've come to lead. I've come to lead. And Joshua is standing there looking face to face with a man who said that he's here to lead. This man's not here to choose up sides. This man's not here to decide if he's for the enemy or for the friends. He says, "I'm here to lead." And now Joshua has to make a decision. Does Joshua, as the leader of the children of Israel, fall in line with this man? Or does he grab his sword and try to challenge this man? Go back with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Joshua had to learn a lesson that every man of God has to learn. And it's a struggle for us. And there are times that we buck against it. But there's a lesson that every man of God has got to learn before he can be an effective leader of the Lord's people. Exodus chapter 32. Moses has come down off the mountain, seen what the children of Israel were doing with this golden calf. And then in verse number 26, Exodus 32, 26. "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." He said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" You see, this is something that Moses learned when spending time up there with the Lord on this mountain. Moses comes down and he's obviously the children of Israel, or the leader of the children of Israel. But he comes down off this mountain. He wants to know not who's on my side, but who's on the Lord's side. That's something that every leader, everyone who's going to be a leader, needs to realize, is that the buck never stops here, okay? It always stops with the Lord. No matter what the Lord would use you to do in his service, you always remember that he's the captain of the host. Okay, the Lord's not coming to play on your team. I mean, he's the leader. Okay, we need to fall in line on his side. We need to make sure that we're doing what his will is, because great leaders like Moses realize this. And this is something Joshua's got to learn. Are you for us or for our enemies? No, 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 no. I lead. I lead. I have come as the captain of the host. And that's something that we've got to get to. Joshua is willing to submit to this. But this is something that we've all got to learn. In your life, whatever you're going to do for the Lord's service, I'm telling you, he's got to lead. You've got to be willing to submit to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Joshua chapter 5 say? "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? That's the right answer right there. That is the right answer. When you really get a hold of who the Lord is as commander in chief, you will see that our responsibility is just to fall before him and say, Lord, what you say it. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I just tell me. Just say it. And he falls on his face and he worships. And he probably is thinking, man, what a dumb question I just asked. But he says, whatever you say, just tell me the word. What saith my Lord to his servants? You see, chapter 6 records for us the battle of Jericho. And it's a tremendous story. Who won that battle? The Lord did. I mean, the Lord won that battle. That was not a battle that was won with spears and with swords and with shields. I mean, this is a battle that is won by the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants us to get to before we're, I mean, it's one thing to grab a sword in your hand and to grab a shield and be ready to go on. But it's another thing to, first of all, be willing to submit to the Lord. I'm telling you, you'll have more power with the Lord if you'll learn to submit to him than you would if you just ran headlong into something with a sword and a spear. You'll have more power with God if you learn to ask him first, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you're the captain. You're the leader. You just tell me. He's the Lord of hosts. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. This is how the battle's going to be won. This battle's not going to be won in Joshua's strength. And this is something that he's going to lead the children into this land. Jericho's going to be the first, but there's many battles that lie ahead. And before he gets into this very first battle, he's got to learn that it's not going to happen in his strength. He better side himself up with the Lord. He better get with the Lord, and he better spend time with him. Now, number three, this is where we want to spend most of our time. Number three, Jesus, our captain. Jesus, our captain. You see, Christ is our captain. And how are we going to win this battle? How are we going to take on Jericho? How are we going to take on this promised land? How are we going to fight these battles? How are we going to pursue this week? Man, this has been a great week. Man, these have been great services this week. I've been encouraged to meet new folks and folks that I have known before. It's been great to get to know you, but there's going to come a time tomorrow when you've got to get back up and get to the grind, okay? You've got to get back into a battle. You've got to get back out there in the world, and how are you going to do this now? We've had a week of services, and we've gone through some different things, but what are you going to do tomorrow when there's no refresher tomorrow night, right? When there's no service tomorrow night and it's you out there in the world and you're going to try and live for the Lord and fight these battles. Let me give you some things from Joshua chapter 5 that I do believe would be a help to us. First of all, we got to get things back in order. Go back to Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 2. We get a lot of pointers here. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. All right, before you're going to get to tomorrow, all right, you got to have a gut check here. Things have got to get back in order. And Israel's got to get back to something that they know they should have been doing, but they have not been doing for the last 40 years. For the last 40 years in their wanderings in the land of the wilderness before taking this promised land, for 40 years they've been wandering and they haven't been circumcising their children. Now this is the mark of the covenant. This is the mark of God's covenant that he made with Abraham, right? All the way back to Genesis. And he tells them, you need to get this thing back. I mean, for 40 years, they haven't been bearing God's mark. They've been wandering around in the wilderness, and they have not been even physically showing themselves that they are God's people. Israel had a physical mark that identified them as the seed of Abraham and as his people. But for 40 years, they haven't even been showing that they were his. Listen, if you're going to have a victory tomorrow, if you're going to be able to go out into the world tomorrow and fight your Jericho and get into these battles and this, I'm telling you, you got to get some things back in line, okay? We got to get some things back in order here. For the last few years, you haven't been marked, you know, you've been living in this world and you really haven't been identified as a child of God, right? Could you say that that's true of anybody? Would that be true of anyone? Could you honestly say that maybe for the last couple years, you haven't really been identified as a child of God? Maybe because of the way you've been living? Maybe because of the way you've been acting? I don't know. Maybe that's just time you take a gut check. Listen, if you're going to go fight Jericho tomorrow, you got to start looking like my people. You've got to start looking like you're one of mine. And they haven't been. They haven't even been circumcising their children. And now they're going to go into this land, and the Lord says, no. You got to look like my people. That's where there's going to be true victory. We got to start looking like the Lord's people. Man, so many times that believers and we as Christians, we get so accustomed. I understand that we live in the world, but sometimes we just look so much like the world. And after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the children of Israel don't look any different than the other inhabitants because an entire generation hasn't been circumcised. You know what happens when, you know, it's a lot more painful to be circumcised years down the road than if they would have taken care of it on the eighth day. Telling you what, when you get away from the Lord, you're going to find the farther and longer, if you go 40 years away from the Lord, you're going to find that it's a lot more painful to get back than if you would have stayed and at a very young time got back to it. Don't get that far away from the Lord. I'm telling you, when you see that you're starting to get away from the Lord, you got to have some spiritual discernment about you. You got to be able to recognize that and get back in line. You don't want to wait years down the road and then go through the painfulness of circumcision. I mean, you find yourself getting off, get back on track. Stay with the course here. I mean, look like God's people, right? When you go out there tomorrow and the revival services are over and you're going to get back to your jobs and you young people are going to get back to school, look like God's people. Do what you can and live in this world looking like God's people. You think people say, well, I don't want to look odd. I don't want to look different. Hey, you know what? Israel had an odd identifying mark about them. They just did. They were different from the rest of the inhabitants of the land. And believers should be that way. Believers should be different. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to be foolish and look foolish, but I'm saying we should look like God's people. People should be able to tell that there's something different about us. Be able to tell that we're God's people. We got to live right. Man, we really, really got to live right. If we're going to make a difference and an impact in this world, we got to start looking like God's people. Joshua, get your knives out and make them sharp, because tonight that you're going to circumcise these people. They're not going to get this victory without looking like my people. They're going to look like them. Now go with me to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 4. I'm telling you, we're going to have spiritual power to win victories in this. Listen, we've got lost folks that need to be saved, and we need to be an honorable and good witness and testimony before them. We need to make sure that we have power in our witness and power in the words of our voice. Zechariah chapter 4 says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, Well, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are on the top there, upon the top of thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? You don't know? I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is a vision that Zechariah is seeing, is of the need of spiritual power. You see, the candlestick, He sees a vision here of a candlestick, and it has seven lamps, and it's got seven pipes to the lamps, and there's a bowl on top of it. And that's where they would put the oil. Of course, oil in the Old Testament, oil is in the Bible, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And this oil would go and would flow to these seven lamps. And there was an olive tree here, and there was an olive tree here. Olive oil would be the symbol of the Spirit and the spiritual power that they were going to need. And he says, man, what are you seeing? He looks at him and says, you don't know? You don't know what you're looking at here? No, I don't know what I'm looking at here. Well, you look at that candlestick, and you look at every one of these lights. And these lights are going to be fed by this olive tree. These lights and these lamps are going to be fed by the olive trees and the olive oil that they pump into this bowl. And this was the lesson for Zerubbabel. Listen, this light, this power, it's not going to come by human strength. It's going to come by this oil. It's going to come by the Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That is where we're going to find the victory in this world. That is the secret of our strength. That's what makes believers different than any other group. That's why we are so peculiar and so special, is because we have a power. We can tune into a power that no one else can. We can have spiritual power. I mean, the other people walking around this world, their spirit's dead. But not only can you have a spirit that's alive, but you can have spiritual power. But I'm telling you, you get away from the Lord, you get away from Him and get into sin, circumcision's going to hurt. It's going to hurt 40 years from now. So, man, stay with it. Get with the Spirit. Stay with the spiritual walk. I mean, stay with the things of the Word of God. So can we do that today? Before you get out there tomorrow, all right, on the eve before Joshua's ready, let's get things back right. Right now, tonight, let's get things back in order. Maybe for a few years you really haven't been looking like a Christian. You honestly could say, yeah, you come to church and, you know, you do all those things, but Monday through Friday, I mean, you're just one of the guys or one of the gals. Maybe today you could really look and see, you know what, I want to have that power tomorrow when I go, and I'm going to start looking like one of His people. I'm going to start looking like one of the Lord's. Can we do that? All right, go back to Joshua chapter 5. We need to have the Lord's power, because I'm telling you, Zerubbabel, this battle's not going to be won in your power. And of course, Zerubbabel's was the rebuilding project there. But I'm telling you, our battles and our needs are going to come through spiritual power. He's the captain. All right, so let's get back. Let's get things in order. All right, what's the second pointer? Second pointer is this: stay fresh. Keep fresh. Joshua chapter 5. In verse number 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. As Israel stepped foot into the promised land, the manna was going to be done. They were going to be able to eat off the fruit of the land now. They were going to be eating this corn here off the land. And so the Lord tells them, you take this, okay? And now it's going to be the corn. It's not going to be the manna anymore. You know, you're going to go, the manna that sustained them in the wilderness was not what was going to lead them into the promised land. I mean, the manna that sustained them and the manna that kept them alive was not always going to be there. And so they were going to have to stay fresh. They were going to have to go and get their corn. They were going to have to, you know, they weren't going to just wake up and find the manna outside their tents like they did while they wandered. I mean, the Lord provided them manna. Give us this day our daily bread. And every day the Lord provided for them. And that helped them to trust Him. That gave them a basis of their faith. And so they began to trust the Lord. And now the Lord's saying that the manna's not going to be there anymore. And so what does He say? The manna ceased on the morning or the morrow after they'd eaten of the old corn of the land. Now there's corn. So there's that manna. It's no more. And we need to stay fresh. Okay? Every day you've got to stay fresh. Every day you got to be getting you something new. Every day you got to be getting you something new. That old stuff, I mean, the old stuff was good, but it's not today. I mean, I don't have that today. Listen, I'm telling each believer that is here, I think that you need to commit a lot more, beginning with these services, beginning tonight, as you get ready to go tomorrow and do the things that you need to do in this world, that you're going to stay fresh. And tomorrow, when this manna's gone, you're still going to go find you some fresh corn to eat, and you're still going to find you some fresh things in the land to eat. I'm telling you, you need to stay in God's Word, and you need to stay in God's Word every day. The things that helped you back here are not going to be the things that you can live off of forever. Listen, you used to read your Bible, and you used to read it seriously, but that was 2 years ago, and it's 2 years later, and you're still trying to live off of that, and that's not how that works. You can't live on manna that was there 2 years ago. You got to stay fresh. You got to stay current. You got to stay with the Lord's Word currently. Walk with Him every day. I'm telling you, you need some Bible every day. You need some prayer every day. You need time with the Lord every day. We don't have church services every day. So I think, man, whenever you get the chance to come and be with the Lord's people, you ought to do that. You ought to put forth that effort. I think you got to stay fresh. I mean, tomorrow is going to be a new battle. And so I'm going to need some strength there. I'm going to need something new the next day when this comes. Listen, Sunday services are great, but I'm telling you what, by Wednesday, I've been out in the world for 3 days. Man, I need some more stuff. I need to get freshened up. I need some new corn. And then Wednesday to Sunday, man, that's the long stretch, because that's 3 whole days plus part of the other day. I mean, man, I gotta have it. You got to stay fresh. Reading your Bible once a week is not going to help you win battles in the Promised Land. Winning battles is going to come by you finding you some corn and you staying with it. Listen, manna, that sustains you back here. But tomorrow is a new day and tomorrow is a new battle. So I'm telling you what you need to do. Get some more of this. Amen. Get some more of this. Get some more time with the Lord. Do you remember that passage of scripture that you read that you regretted? You don't, do you? You remember that time that you went to church and the pastor was preaching God's word and you hated it? You hated God's word. You ever despise the time that you've read the scriptures or the time that you had in prayer? No. Every one of you's seen something on TV that when it was over, you think, man, I wish I hadn't watched that. Or you saw something, or you heard something, and when it was over, that was foolish. I just did something I shouldn't have done. You've never said that after you read the Bible, have you? Look how awesome this thing is. I mean, look how great God's word is. This thing will keep you fresh. This thing will keep you alive. This thing will give you the strength that you need. You're going to go into the land, and manna's not what's going to take you in there. It's fresh corn, man. Get in this word. Get in God's word every day. Man, I'm telling you, every day. Commit to it right now. Tomorrow's a new day, and man, this week has been great, but tomorrow you're not going to live off of this past Monday's sermon. This Monday, you're going to get something new for Monday. And then Tuesday, you're going to get something new for Tuesday. And start making that a model and start making that a pattern in your life. I just think if you're going to fight battles, it's good to have as much energy and strength as you can have. You don't want to fight battles weakened. You don't want to fight battles in a weak condition. Man, stay fresh. Get some of that corn. Now let me give you the third pointer. In verse number 14. Verse 14, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What do you say? You see, Joshua was willing to hand over the reins to this man. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 26. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to hand over the reins to our Lord. He's the commander in chief. That means, he's got the word. He says it. We need to listen. We need to follow. We just need to lay it over to him. We just need to give him control. Give him the reins. Give him the, just let him take the lead with his sword. Psalm 26, verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Can you today put the reins in the Lord's hands and let him try you? I mean, I think that'd be a good pattern. Right where you stand today, put the reins in the Lord's hands and let him try you. I mean, why don't you really get alone with the Lord and let him try you and see how it goes? Put the reins in his hands and let's see if the Lord, let's see if you're so in tune with the Lord that he pulls lightly. You know, like you could do with a horse that's trained and knows its master's touch. He just pull that thing and it'll go. But you get a stubborn horse and you get a ruler that, a horse master or, whatever that doesn't know his horse. And, you can spend some time trying to break that baby in. And try it. Try my reins. Why don't you let the Lord try you and see how far you've gotten away? I'm telling you what, something's happened in your mouth, and you know your mouth is bruised. And the reason your mouth is bruised is because when the Lord tries to get you to do something, he's got to jerk on those reins to get you to turn. Whereas you can see some people and their attitude and their spirit, they're so sensitive to the Lord's will and to the Lord's guidance that he pulls a little bit and they go. I mean, you see people that are living in the Lord's will and following and serving the Lord. Put your reins in the Lord's hands. Why don't you just let the Lord show you where you stand? Let the Lord show you how it is, and the Lord will be able to show you. You know, just put it there and say, Lord, you try my reins. You try my reins in my heart. Lord, see where I'm at. See if I'm moldable to your will. See if I'm easy to turn and easy to follow you. I mean, just put it in his hands. Say, you're the captain. What do you want me to do? Fall down and worship him and just let him lead. We have to cultivate a submissive will. We really need to cultivate a submissive will to the Lord. You know what's interesting is when you come to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's telling you to keep the mind of Christ. But what's the example that it gives? You know, it doesn't say, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ, who could say no to temptation and quote scripture to do it. That's not the example that he gives. That would be good. But what's the example that he gives? Who humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even to the death of the cross. Paul tells us to have the mind of Christ, and to have the mind of Christ, the example that he gives is submission and humility, and being willing to humble yourself to whatever would be asked. You ever walk around the New Testament and just listen to the phrases that Jesus Christ used? Not my will, but thine be done. He does these things that it might be fulfilled, which had been spoken. My hour is not yet come. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Just look at all these phrases that the Lord Jesus Christ used and how he had a submissive will to the Father and a submissive will to the Father's timeline and all these things. He was submitted himself to the will of his Father. Do you have a submissive will? I mean, do you have a will that's moldable and shapeable? Or are you just stubborn? I mean, some people just, I'm just going to do it my way. And some people, they're just going to do it their way. And years later, you find that they have nothing but a bruised mouth because it's taken the Lord jerking on them to get them to go this way. Listen, if we would learn to cultivate a submissive will and be submissive to what the leadership of the Lord is, we would find a lot less bruises in our mouth, and we'd find that it's a much smoother ride. When the Lord says, go this way, go this way. You know, the Lord can get you to go that way, but sometimes it takes a bruised mouth, whereas if you just submit, if right where you stand, right when the Lord tells you, you would just submit and say, yeah, Lord, whatever you would want me to do, man, it's so much easier. It's so much easier if you would cultivate a will that's just submissive to the Lord, and daily you wake and daily you sleep and daily you live to follow and serve the Lord. Lord, try my reins. Prove me. Lord, would you prove me? Show me what I am. Show me who I am. Lord, show me how far I've gotten off. Show me what I need to do. I'm telling you, Psalm 26:2 is an intense prayer, and you probably shouldn't pray it if you don't mean it. But it's a good prayer to pray. Lord, prove me. Man, it's been a long time since you've been one-on-one in some serious hard time with the Lord and really gotten down to business with the Lord. And you need to get down with him today and say, Lord, it's been a while. Show me where I'm at now. Show me how far I've come. He just might do it. He really might do it. Let me give you this last pointer. Attitude. Attitude. Turn back with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now, why are these people so bitter? Why are these people so mad all of a sudden? Well, what's going on in this last chapter? These guys have gone in and spied out this land, and some guys have come back and they've said, "You guys, Moses and Aaron, were nuts. To think that we could take this land, those guys were crazy. I mean, look at these guys. They got giants over here. I mean, this land is inhabited by giants. It took two of us to carry out a thing of grapes. I mean, this land is a land that, I mean, it produces. I mean, this land's a great land. But man, look at these guys. There's no way that we can. I mean, how many of us we got here? I mean, it would take three of us to take on one of their guys. We can't go." And I don't know about you, but I'm not going. We're not going to go. And the vote came down, and it was 10-2 not to go. They weren't going to listen. Now come with me to Joshua chapter 2. They've wandered for 40 years. Because of their disbelief and distrust of the Lord, he would not allow that generation to inherit the land. And an entire generation of people, they were not allowed to inherit the land. And it was reserved for two men, Joshua and Caleb, who were faithful, and those that were under 20 years old who the Lord didn't hold responsible. Now you come into Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now the 40 years of wandering are over. And now Joshua, and I wonder what Joshua's thinking, because he sends two more spies. All right, we're going to try this again. You go in there and spy out this land, okay? He only sends two of them. And what does it come, when you come down to verse 23, Joshua chapter 2, verse 23. "So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, 'Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.'" These two spies come back with a different report. "We can take it. We can do this. I'm telling you, the Lord has delivered." Now, they're saying what Joshua and Caleb said 40 years ago. "The Lord's given this land in our hands, and we can do this." And listen, I'm telling you, attitude is going to change a lot. A lot of things are going to be won or lost by your attitude. Now, you think about this. What has changed about Canaan? What has changed about Canaan in 40 years? Nothing. I mean, nothing has changed about that land. The men there are still as evil. It's not like the race of giants have just died off. I'm telling you, nothing was different about Canaan. Now, this time, 40 years later, what's different? They are. That's the difference there. When you go out tomorrow, listen, this world's not going to be any better a place than it was last Monday before these services started. Tomorrow you're going to go out and the battles that you fought, you're still going to have to fight. You're going to go out and you're still going to have struggles. You're going to have the difficulties that you've had. I'm telling you, the difference tomorrow is not going to be what's out there. The difference can be how you look at it, though. The difference can be in your attitude and in your heart and in your mindset toward it. I mean, you look at Canaan land. Those giants aren't gone. Those evil people aren't gone. But you look now, they have changed. I mean, they've been wandering for 40 years. And man, this land is ours. We're not wandering anymore. The Lord's given us into our hand. What's changed? They have. Did you know that tomorrow you can go out into the world in better shape than you did last Monday? You can go out with more power. You can go out tomorrow being more consistent in your faithfulness. I mean, you can do that. It starts with you. You got to want it. I mean, you got to want it. If there's anything that you take home, if there are any of these services this week, you got to want it. Your preacher, he can want it for you, but he can't give it to you. You got to want it. You got to want more time with the Lord. You got to want to be more serious about the things of the Lord. Tomorrow, this world will still be the same, but you can be changed. You can be different in it. You can go with a different mindset. You can go walking with the Lord. You can go in his strength. Man, that's a better way to go about it. That would be a much better way for us to go about it. These two men return, we're going to take it. Man, we're going to take it. And after 40 years, what has changed? They have. They have. Would we be willing today to check even our attitude and how we look at the things of the world and the things of the Word? Tell you what, if we change our attitude, we could change a lot. If we would change how we look at things, we could change so much. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Now they've come to the promised land. Now they are different. Verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, to be the kind of leader that Moses was, Joshua had to come to a place where Moses did. And we got to get to this place. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Our leader is a righteous Lord, Jesus Christ. And when we come unto him, we're coming unto someone who's holy and righteous and just and higher above all the heavens. We need to change our attitude. We should not come to Jesus Christ. We should never come to the Lord and tell him how it's going to be. Are you for us or for our enemies? No. I'm the leader here. And since I'm the leader and since you're following me, take your shoes off. Show me the respect that's due me because I'm holy. I'm righteous. Listen, in our lives, we need to show the Lord the honor and glory that he deserves. We need to show him the honor and respect that is due to his holy name. Listen, Joshua chapter 6 is going to be an amazing victory. It's going to be an amazing victory. But it starts here. You must today recognize who you are and who the Lord is and get those back in line where they're supposed to be. Listen, you and the Lord should not be splitting decisions in your life. You and the Lord should not be splitting the rule over your heart. Lord, what do you want your servant to do? Joshua, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. We're standing before the Lord. We need to bow to his will. Can you do that today? You can go out tomorrow, and this world is going to be the same place it was last week, but you can go out tomorrow fresh. And you can go back out tomorrow circumcised. And you can go back out tomorrow with a submissive will. And you can go out tomorrow a brand new person with a new reins in your mouth, submitted to the Lord's will. He's the Lord of hosts. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Doth ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle.